especially in view of the song that Rita picked out here this morning that we sang, what would you say was the subject of that song? Something to do with our dealing with the trials of life? Something of that nature? Anyway, I want to start off with Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn there. And we are going to be looking at some different places in the Word and expounding on the Word. If you have questions or comments, maybe you can save them until the end and share them, and we can all benefit from it then. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. I can read a couple more verses here too, and then we'll go back to verse 1. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured. You see, he had to go through something that he endured. It doesn't say that he enjoyed the cross. He endured the cross. Amen? Despising the shame. It was a shameful thing to be hung up the way he was. Amen? And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him. A perfect man, perfect in righteousness, holiness, God, having this sinners come against him like they did. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. Faint in your minds. Let's see, that word faint means to be discouraged, doesn't it? To be discouraged in our soul. The mind is part of the soul. So that we, in our trials, we do not become faint. I like the word faint. I think that's better than discouraged. Because I don't know if you've ever fainted. Maybe come close to it a few times. When you kind of losing your balance and you realize the blood is leaving your brain or something, and where are you going to go, you know? And I think this is describing a spiritual condition, that we not come into a spiritual situation of where we are going to give up because we are faint, saying that we're not going to make it, all right? Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have not. There is no human being. This is written for people. You have not yet resisted unto blood. Now, you think you've resisted quite a bit. You think you've had a hard battle. But it says you haven't resisted to blood. Jesus resisted to blood. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that he sweat as it were great drops of blood. If he's sweating something red coming out, he has resisted to blood. Now I cannot understand that level of resistance. I just can't. Obviously, I have not resisted to that extent that he did. In other words, he's gone before us. Higher than we've ever gone in these realms. Now, back to verse 1. Seeing we are compassed about with. Amen? We are compassed about. Now, that means we are surrounded. You know what a compass is? All points of the compass, 360 degrees. I was going to say 365. No, that's the number of days of the year in a solar year. Okay? No, 365 degrees all the way around us. We are compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. Do we have trouble with this verse?
We shouldn't.
We shouldn't. Some say, oh, well, that's just a figure of speech, you know, that's not really, you know, it just means that they went before. No, it means that we are compassed about, that there are saints who are depending on us. What is the verse just before that? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Their perfection, now we're talking about people in heaven. I thought they were perfect. The spirits of just men made perfect. And yet there's a perfection that is lacking in them. In other words, they're perfect insofar as they're not going to sin again anymore. No chance. Once you get into the heavenly realm, you're never going to sin again. But to be perfect means there's a completion that is still lacking in them. And that completion is waiting on something of our overcoming. I believe that there's a lot of people that have crossed on over into the realm of the heavenlies that overcame as much as they could. Their desire was to overcome. They've repented as much as they could. And yet, there were things left incomplete. There were things in their life that they probably did not come to full overcoming in. I'm not saying they sinned in it. But I'm saying they didn't overcome in it either. You know, you can come to a realm of overcoming where you're not sinning in something, but doesn't mean you're overcoming it. You're probably not overcoming it because you haven't been throwing the curve, the big curve of temptation. You've overcome it to some extent, and you're probably living sinlessly insofar as that issue is concerned. But if God were to allow a sufficient test to come your way, you probably might not make it. But He's gracious to you. He's merciful. Why are they allowed to watch us? And I don't think they watch us 24/7. I don't think they watch me when I fail. I don't think that would be proper. I don't think God would say, all right, the guy's really going to fall in the pit here. Everybody come around. No, I don't think that's the way it is. But I think that those who have, let's assume that, oh, let's make up something. I don't want to be too realistic. Something that I have to overcome. Now, don't get too realistic. And don't hit the nail on the head. Give me something that I've already overcome as a hypothetical thing. All right, stealing. All right, let's suppose that I had a problem with stealing. All right? And I would take money for drugs, and I would take money for this and that and the other thing, and I would steal. Okay, so another guy died, a distant relative of mine, and he never overcame that. Maybe it was a familiar spirit. He never overcame that. And he wasn't stealing anymore when he died. He was repented up, you know. He'd asked forgiveness of everything. But he still had that thing in him. That if he were put in a position of temptation sufficient, he might have fallen. Now, God wants this man to be complete. He wants him to have overcome this whole thing in his soul. But he left us. He went on to glory. He was, like I said, he was forgiven. He was repented up. But he didn't really overcome it. And so now, I'm overcoming it. The bag of money is right there in front of me. The cash register. There's no receipt. There's no way of tracking. I have every opportunity. I could flip that thing right in my pocket. Never make out any paperwork. I could get away with it. But I'm surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And God is allowing somebody to watch. And He can probably see some things in my soul that are taking place. And I'm fighting a battle. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to do this. And Satan is saying, yeah, go ahead. And this man can hear the spiritual things that I can't hear. But I say, no. it's only going to cause more trouble in my life. I'm going to walk away from it. Okay? I'm not doing it. And Lord, I'm not doing it, and I'm not going to do it the next time. Or maybe I get tested again. Do you know that when you get delivered from things, you get tested in it? Oh, yes. Well, I didn't want to spend the whole message here on Hebrews 12. But let us see, because we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, and you cannot see a cloud. You don't know who's in that cloud. They can see, but you can't see. And like I said, they're not watching it all the time, but I think that God knows, and He would send somebody, hey, here's a woman that's going to be tested in something, and I know she's going to make it. Come around. Some of you that have had problems in that area of your life, come around and watch how she's going to overcome. And they're going to learn. Because if you don't learn from the testing, for the most part, if you just pass on into glory, this earth, the trials, the afflictions, the chastisement that we go through in this earth is meant to teach us lessons that for the most part we could not learn once we passed over. Satan has no access to us after we pass over into the heavenlies. Do you follow what I'm saying? Am I being confusing here? All right. So, because we are being watched, let us lay aside every weight. Now, you're not going to like the literal translation of this word weight. You're not going to like it. The literal word here, I looked it up one time, the literal word here is fatty bulges. None of us is going to like that. Let us lay aside the fatty bulges, okay, and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us do what?
Run
with what?
Patience.
What do you have to throw that in there for? We have to be patient too. How many of you know that God doesn't finish a thing always just with a snap of a finger? God, I'm overcoming. Snap. All right, it's all done. No, it isn't done that fast, is it? No, I have to be tested in that thing. Maybe I have to even fall a time or two so that I get grieved over my situation. But then there comes a time when I am going to overcome. Let us lay aside all this so that we can run the race. You see, salvation isn't finished the day that I receive the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sin. Then salvation isn't really finished until I have finished my race. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have finished the race. And the crown, the prize of finishing the race is laid up for me. Amen. Now, let's get into some nitty-gritty. All right? We're talking about chastisement today. And I thought that would be a good introduction. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Oh, let's go back to verse 8. This is a passage. Zechariah, the latter part of Zechariah, has some very, very interesting end time messages, some of which are very difficult to understand. But let us just pick out a little segment here, because I believe it speaks to this today where we are. Okay? And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Now this is some serious tribulation, isn't it? You know that in the kingdom of God, the wicked are going to be cut off. There's going to be a lot of dying. Taking place. And I believe we're going to see it. there's going to be disasters. There's going to be things happen. It isn't all going to be by the sword. Some of it's going. He's sitting down. You know, when you're sitting down, Larry's sitting down. He's relaxed. He's not in a hurry. When you're standing up, that isn't the way it is it? You're ready to move. You're ready to go. You want to get things on. Let's get the show on the road.
That's me.
You think I picked the perfect example here? Yeah. And I know what it's like. You know, when I was an administrator and somebody would come in for a meeting, if I knew we were going to have a long meeting, I'd be sitting there and I'd say, just have a seat. We've got things to talk about. And we would both sit and we would talk. But if there was somebody who came in with a problem and I didn't want it to be a long meeting, and I would stand up behind my desk and I'd walk out and I'd say, okay, so what's the problem here? All right, go do thus and thus, take care of thus and thus. No, Jesus is sitting. He's not in a hurry.
Right.
How many of you know He's not in a hurry in your life? Do you know why He's not in a hurry? Because He wants to do the job thoroughly. He wants to get it done perfectly. So there's no... He wants it finished. Why do a half job?
Right, amen.
And He's purging them that they might offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years, and I will come near to you to judgment. Well, I'm not going to read the rest of that verse. I'm talking about the trying of the sons of Levi. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 12 again. If you can go back to Hebrews with me. And we're going to take it up a little bit later in chapter 12. We'll pick up after verse 4 now, where Jesus is saying, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, and that should be the word sons there. Okay? The word children should not be there. Cross out children, it's sons. You have forgotten that He speaks to you as sons. Now, if you want to be children, you can be children, and you'll be dealt with as a child. But if you want to be a son, you're going to be dealt with as a son. Okay? He says, my son. So, yes, it is appropriate He deals with us as sons if He's going to call you my son. Okay? Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. There's that word faint again, isn't it? Amen? Despise not the chastening. What is the chastening? It's discipline. Yes. Don't despise it. How many of you enjoy discipline? How many have enjoyed discipline since the day you were a child? Oh, you did. Okay, no, I didn't enjoy it. Nevertheless, I think it yielded a good thing. I hope it did. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and what? Scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now, chastening is discipline. Scourging is what? It's done with a whip or a stick. Okay? So, whom the Lord loveth, He chastens and scourges. Every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? How many of you want to be dealt with as a son?
Got to go through it.
Okay. But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, are you, and you don't need to answer me this, just the self-reflective question, are you under chastisement? Do you believe that the circumstances of your life are bringing you chastening and sometimes chastisement?
Amen. Yeah.
In what? I was thinking about, in what manner do we get this chastening and chastisement? In what manner does it come to us? How do we recognize chastening and chastisement?
When things get harder.
Well, what kind of harder?
Things that bring anguish in your life.
And what brings anguish into our life?
Circumstances that we don't like.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
So let's define this a little further. We like these generalized terms. Family members.
Yeah.
Okay. Other people, in other words. How about financial situations?
Yeah.
Does that do it too?
Yeah.
How about health situations?
Yeah.
Troubles with our body.
Yeah.
Yeah? Bodies don't function the way they were supposed to. They don't function the way they did when we were 16 years old anymore. That's other people again, coming against you, misunderstanding you. How about the things that don't work right?
That's what I mean.
Things that are supposed to function. Your car doesn't function. Something's gone wrong. It's guaranteed it's supposed to be new, it's supposed to function, but it doesn't function. And then you come into your house and your plumbing doesn't function, and your water pump doesn't function, and your electricity doesn't function. And it's all frustration, isn't it?
Yeah.
Frustration, fire, heat.
Right.
You don't enjoy it.
Right.
And you cry out and say, God, what is the problem?
Right.
What is going on? Amen. But he says if you're without chastisement, you're not a legitimate son.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Use the word bastard, which we don't hardly use today anymore, but it's in the King James Bible.
Right.
It has a meaning. It has a pretty strong meaning.
Yeah.
In our understanding. And I want to talk again about my own life. I had come through a very, very difficult time. And I remember there was a reprieve in my circumstances, a reprieve of the heat, to such an extent that I got worried and I said, Lord, do you still love me as a son? You're not after me anymore.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, okay, settle down. You're going to get more chastisement. It's going to come. Enjoy the reprieve while you've got it. All right, so there was a reprieve. Let me go on. There's more verses here. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Shall we not? Did our fathers not correct us? If they were doing their job, even if they weren't Christians, they were doing their job to correct us. And I don't think they always did it perfectly, and I think there were times that they did it maybe a little too rough. Maybe their heart wasn't totally 100%. Nevertheless, we gave them respect because they were the authority that God had put over us. All right? Shall we not, therefore, do the same of God? All right. For they verily for a few days chastised us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That we might be a partaker of his holiness. What is a partaker of his holiness? That we too would be holy. If you're a partaker of his holiness, then you will be holy. And he does this chastisement so that we will be holy. Okay, let me go on. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Now, you know, discipline isn't necessarily coming out with a whip. It may just come with words. Somebody might just say something that you don't like. Something that brings a word of correction to you. How many of you know we need to endure correction? And you don't like it. And you bristle against it. It doesn't seem pleasant, in other words, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That, in other words, for you to be exercised by it, you have to yield to it too. Exercised by it. My, there's some old English terms here that we don't use very often. For those of you that have been trained by it, is what that means. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Because of all this, our response is, don't go around, oh, poor me. The response is, lift up the hands, get the knees up, stand upright, amen, and rejoice in the Lord, amen, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. You see the Lord's attitude toward lameness is what? He wants to heal it. He wants straight paths. Why does he want straight paths? So that we don't go off the path and fall in the ditch. And what are the paths of the Lord? It's not, you're never going to find a path of the Lord out there in the street. The paths of the Lord are the straight and righteous ways. In other words, it's walking after his nature. That is the path that he wants to make straight for us. God does not want any crooked paths. What's crooked? Crooked could be dishonest. The guy's a crook. We run into crooked people all the time, don't we? God does not want us to partake of that crookedness. Amen. All right, enough for Hebrews. Go over to Revelation chapter 3. We have only a couple more here. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This is the message to Laodicea, the last church that he spoke to, the church with the biggest problems. And he told Laodicea, he says, because I love you, I'm going to rebuke you, I'm going to chasten you, and therefore I want you to be zealous to repent. 1 Corinthians, just a couple more. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32. I'll go back to 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. How many of you want to be in that one-third that's going to come through the fire? Not the two-thirds that's going to be removed, but those that are going to come through. You know, we don't understand the judgment of God, do we? Sometimes we think of judgment as, there's the judge, all right, you've been found guilty, brings the gavel down, sends that man 20 years, hard labor and imprisonment. That's not the way this word is being used here. The judgment of God is the examination of God. He's examining us, and he's dealing with us so that we no longer have that way of walking. So he says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together... Okay, that doesn't apply. Proverbs 29, verse 1. And I think this relates to it too. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, God is spending and invest. Shall I say, God is investing a lot of time into us. And maybe you don't like, in your flesh, maybe you don't like the investment that He's putting into you. Maybe you don't like the heat. Maybe you don't like the fire. Maybe you don't like the sting of the whip on your back. And so our response might be the wrong response. We might say, I'm just going to harden my neck. I'm going to harden my heart about this. I'm not going to take this. I'm just going to say, oh, nothing's wrong. Harden of his neck. Isn't it interesting that he uses the term hardened his neck? Well, what was that verse we read a couple of weeks ago about stiff-neckedness? It means, what does it mean? Hardening of the neck means what? Stubbornness, doesn't it? Doesn't necessarily mean rebellion, but I think it's the first cousin. It means stubbornness. Yeah. Do you recognize stubborn traits? Listen, be serious about this and don't answer me. Do you ever recognize stubborn traits? And you don't have to answer. I don't want anybody's hand to go up. Why don't we recognize it most of the time? Do you know why? I've come to the conclusion that almost every man is blind to his own condition.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a veil upon our eyes.
Yeah.
Almost every man is blind to his own condition. You don't see it. Others around you see it. They can even tell you what they see. But you don't see it. And you don't see it because you can't see it. Because there's a veil. You know, brethren, I believe we're going to pass through the veil. If we go into the Holy of Holies, and you know, passing through that, what is this veil all about? It's flesh. It's the resistance of flesh that is fighting us back. The resistance of our soul. We are tied to earth, brethren. And God wants to set us free. When the veil is lifted, what's going to happen? We shall know as we are known.
Hallelujah.
What would it be like to know as you're known? Would we be able to take it?
No.
I think it would be difficult, wouldn't it? You could stand in front of me and probably rip me up one side and down the other. Tell me all the things that you know about me or that you believe about me. You might be right. You might be half wrong. But again, let's suppose it were true. You know what? I wouldn't like it. And I would probably argue with you. Well, okay. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What I'm saying here, brethren, is when we are chastised of the Lord, when we are chastened of the Lord, we had best not harden our neck. Because the only other option, if we do so, is sudden destruction. In other words, there comes a time when God says, I can't deal with him anymore. He's set in his ways. That's the way he's going to go. I'm going to let him go to destruction. Doesn't sound nice, does it? Psalm 119, this will be the last verse I'll read. Psalm 119, verse 67. These are some the Lord just added last night to me. This is David talking. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. What do you know about David being afflicted? David sinned. The Lord sent a prophet to him to tell him what he was doing wrong. David yielded to it. But you know what? It didn't end right there, did it? It didn't end with David just going down on his face and asking God to forgive him. The other part of the prophet's word also came to pass. The sword is never going to leave your house, David. You're going to have trouble in your house among your children from now on. Because he had opened the door. But all that trouble that David went through, all that affliction of the Lord, he said, before I had the benefit of all that affliction, I went astray. I did this, I did that, I went my own way. He said, but now the affliction has had its perfect work, I've been exercised by it, and now it's going to bring forth a peaceable fruit, which is what it's intended to do. Amen. Well, God bless you.